series of all times and places today. And it's just called Spiritual Fitness. The Lord wants you to be spiritually strong in 2024. And so today we're going to start a series, and it'll be an overview message about God's divine prescription, a divine prescription for stress of all things. And can I tell you, I've had to apply this word already today in my heart, my life. But I'm going to share with you three ideas from the Word of God, and then we're going to apply it to our lives and say, Lord, help us to live free or overcoming the stress in our hearts and our lives. There was a great man of God when my dad became the general treasurer in the late 1980s, 1988 to be exact, that this great man of God by the name of Philip Wanamaker, Pastor Wanamaker pastored for a number of years Central Assembly of God in Springfield, Missouri. And he was kind of a statesman there in the town. And when my dad moved in to be the treasurer, he pulled my dad aside, Brother Wanamaker did, and he said, Brother Trask, can I give you two bits of advice about living in Springfield, Missouri? And my dad said, absolutely, I want to hear the advice that you would give. And Brother Wanamaker said, first, in Springfield, Missouri, don't sweat the small stuff. And then he said, the second thing is, in Springfield, Missouri, all the stuff is small stuff. He was saying, you know what? Don't stress about life. I want to speak to you about God's prescription for stress. How should you and I handle stress in our lives? My wife is a history teacher, as many of you know. And she could tell you that following the Civil War, we know that Ulysses S. Grant was a former soldier, former general of the Union troops, and became president of the United States. There was another great general, you know, he made his march to the sea. His name was William Tecumseh Sherman. And these were the two most popular men in the northern half of the United States post-Civil War. They had been the leading generals, and after Grant had been the president of the United States, many people thought that William T. Sherman would become the president of the United States. They thought he had a path to the White House. But the fact was, he famously replied with these words when it was talked about him becoming president. He said, quote, I will not accept if nominated and will not serve if elected. And that became known as the Sherman Pledge. The President of the United States, think of the last several that we've had, including President Biden. The fact is, it's the most stressful job in the world, in my opinion. John Dickerson wrote a book entitled The American Presidency, The Hardest Job in the World. And think about all the duties of that office. You've got to be the chief executive, the head of government, commander-in-chief, head of state, chief diplomat, chief legislator, political party leader. Nobody in their right mind would ever want that position, in my opinion. But the fact is, there's no way you could satisfy the likes and the dislikes of no less than 330 million people in our nation. The fact is that there was a British medical journal that found out that after adjusting the candidate's age and life expectancy, the findings were that 2.7 years longer did the runner-up live compared to the president himself. That job taxed the president that much that it made an impact to lessen his lifespan on average 2.7 years. But can I say to you, the president's not alone. No matter what the age, the gender, the ethnicity, or religion that people hold to, none of us are immune from the stress virus, if you will. According to the American Institute of Stress, in 2014, 77% of people experience stress that affects their physical health. More than 3 out of 4. 73% have stress that impacts their mental health. 48% have trouble sleeping because of stress. The Global Organization for Stress, in May, right in the middle of the pandemic, 2020, stated that over half of American levels of stress have gotten worse. 75% of Americans had experienced moderate to high stress levels in the past month. Stress level was the number one health concern for high school students, so it doesn't affect age. And then 80% of people felt stress at work. It's an amazing thing that you and I as human beings, that we have to handle stress. Oz Guinness, he was a great author. He wrote a book, Impossible People, in 2016. And he said, we now live in a world of three S's, speed, stuff, and stress. He said, we're all rats in the rat race. And all it is in our lives is not a survival of the fittest, but a survival of the fastest. What stress is what you think you ought to be able to accomplish, and yet you're unable to accomplish, or you can't accomplish. What does stress mean to us from the Word of God? I want to tell you a quick story about the history of Israel, just to give you an overview, and then I want you to see what a great man of God, Isaiah, had to say about stress. Now let me give you the background if I can. Remember, with this context, a person's stress level has to do with what a person believes they can or should accomplish. What was stress to the people of the children of Israel? If you remember, after David and Solomon, we don't have time to go into the details, but under King Rehoboam, the house of Israel, the nation of Israel, this once fantastic nation that was the leading nation in the world, it split in two. The northern 10 tribes became Israel. Eventually, they're carried off into captivity because of spiritual decline. They're carried off by the Assyrians, who then are taken over by the Medes and the Persians. The two southern tribes are called Judah. Their capital is in Jerusalem, if you will. It was 136 years later, after Assyria had taken Israel, that Judah is taken captive. And Jeremiah the prophet, we'll talk about Isaiah in a minute, but Jeremiah the prophet, he had stated, you know what, there's really no hope and the end is the end. But for the house of Judah, after 70 years, they were able, some of them were able to go back to Jerusalem, and they were able to settle again in that city of Jerusalem. But the fact of the matter is, that's kind of how the Old Testament ends. All these other prophets, and major and minor prophets, that's kind of the end of the story before the 400 years of intertestamental period when the New Testament begins. So here's this house of Judah that Jeremiah is talking to. And then Isaiah has this revelation. And that's what I want to read from today. Remember, they're in captivity. But look what the Lord says to them. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Where you sit, say, look to the heavens. Look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and his understanding and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Lord, would you help me in these next few moments to convey your word? And Lord, even through this different means today, I say it again. If you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. And Lord, I pray that you would alleviate stress from somebody even today. And if somebody does not know you as Lord and Savior, may they surrender, as Pastor Brad prayed earlier. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you three steps, real quick, of how you and I can handle stress. If this was a message at Brighton Sunday, it'd probably take 35 or 40 minutes. I'm going to try and cover it in about 7 minutes over the next couple of moments as we look to God's Word. I want to give you three instructions. First off, from the Word of God, you and I ought to look up at the unequaled God. The Word says there that Isaiah proclaimed in verse 26, the first part, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. He was saying, get out of your fetal position, Judah, and quit walking the floor, quit pacing the floor. Go outside and look up at the stars. Have you ever done that? Have you ever considered doing that? You're in a stressful place. And yet, the fact of the matter is that the Lord says, look up. You know what? Do you see the stars out there? I put down in my notes, the scientists tell us that you can usually count, if you were able to, or see about 9,000 stars that are visible to the naked eye. But that's only 1/100 quintillion of the number of stars that are in the universe. Do you know how big a quintillion is? It's 1 with 20 zeros behind it. And we're actually, because of the Hubble telescope, we're still receiving light that people or scientists, astronomers tell us that the light left no less than 12 million light years or away. Think about that. Our God tells us, would you look up, look at the starry host. You know what? I put them in place. There's not one that's out of place. And I know them by name, the Word says. And he keeps control of all of that. He says, look up at the stars in the sky if you wonder if I'm in control. The fact is, you and I can look at the stars tonight if it's not a cloudy night, and we can say, God, I see the starry host. If you put all that universe into place, you can take care of what concerns me. So look up. Secondly, listen to the unlimited God. The prophet Isaiah was a phenomenal stress therapist because he gave some practical advice. He said, look at in verse 28 and 29. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. You see, the Lord wanted, through Isaiah the prophet, you and I to know. He's a God that's all-knowing. He's all-seeing, he's all-hearing, and he's the ever-present God. When you call to him today, you're not taking him by surprise. Your need is not going to catch him off guard. The Bible says there that Isaiah proclaimed to the children of Israel. He said, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by God? When we get stressed out, don't we do the same thing? Lord, are you even listening? Just what Israel did. Doesn't he really care? Does he know what's happening? But the Word says there, look at it in verse 28, and his understanding no one can fathom. The fact is, there's no limit to God's understanding. He knows the numbers of hairs on our head. He knows what I'm thinking now. He knew that the power was going to be out at Brighton Assembly of God long before Brad Trask or the people of Brighton Assembly knew. The fact is, our God is the all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-hearing, all-hearing, ever-present help. He's also an all-loving and all-powerful God. You see, the Lord has created you in His image, and He loves you. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. He is the all-knowing, ever-present God, but the all-loving and all-caring God. I love this quote from a great French priest by the name of Jacques-Marie Lutz Massabre. And he was lived in the 19th and 20th centuries. And he said this about being able to recalculate if he was in control. He said, "If God would concede to me his omnipotence for 24 hours, you would see how many changes I would make in the world. But if he gave me his wisdom too, I would leave things as they are." Can I just reassure you today? It ought to relieve stress in our lives. There's nothing that's catching God off guard, and He's in control of the universe, and He's in control of our lives. If you're stressed out, if you're worn out, you're tired because of everything that's transpiring around you today, can I just say to you, there's no limit to God's strength. And He can handle any situation. So you and I, say it with me. Look up, or listen, and then linger with the unfailing God. If you're like me, you're a fixer by nature. And I've got to watch this. When people come and talk to me as a pastor, immediately I want to try and fix the problem. But the fact of the matter is, that fixers have to be careful because they can get ahead of God. Look what the word says there. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. The fact is, waiting doesn't mean you do nothing. It doesn't mean you crawl into a fetal position or walk the floor or chew your nails. The fact of the matter is, what you're saying when you're waiting is this: Lord, I'm totally dependent upon You. I'm helpless and hopeless without You. But I have an unshakable confidence that You're the everlasting God. That You'll work out what I'm experiencing for my good, and that Your purpose will be fulfilled in my life. To be done so that it will be for my good, Your good, and for God's glory. That's what dependence upon the Lord says. So I want you to get these three ideas. Number one, expect God to give you His good. He loves you. He's got good things in store for your life in 2024. He's going to take care of you. You can trust Him. Secondly, expect God to give you good work. When you wait, it doesn't mean you don't do anything. When I go to a restaurant or you go to a restaurant, what's another name for the person that serves you? It's a waiter or a waitress. The fact of the matter is, waiting means continuing to work where God's placed you at that given moment. If He wants to move you, talking to somebody in ministry maybe even today, if God wants to move you, He knows where you're at. You just be faithful exactly where you're at today. And then lastly, expect God to give you the strength. He's going to give you good. He's going to give you His favor and His blessings. But the fact of the matter is, He's going to renew your strength. That's what the word says in verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Say that word with me. With your family, say this word, renew. Did you say it? Renew. That word literally means exchange. You're going to exchange your stress for the strength that God's going to give you when you wait upon Him. Today, as you watch this, with your family or by yourself, why don't you just say, "Oh God, would You renew the strength in me? I exchange my stress for Your strength." And then the Bible says that they will soar on wings like eagles. There's a well-known ornithologist. And you know what ornithology is, the fact of studying birds. But this ornithologist by the name of Jemmy Sudhakar said this: "Eagles are the only birds that love the storm. When all the other birds try to flee from the storm and hide its fierceness, eagles fly into it and will use the wind of the storm to rise higher in a matter of seconds. They use the pressure of the storm to glide higher without having to use their own energy. They're able to do this because God has created them uniquely with the ability to lock their wings in a fixed position in the midst of the fierce storm winds." Eagles don't fear storms. They soar above them. And because they do, they can fly higher and farther and faster. You're going to mount up like wings of eagles, and you're going to overcome the stress and the storm in 2024 because you know your God. The fact is, for you and I, think about that. Eagles, an average pace that an eagle flies is 50 miles an hour. But they're not afraid of the storm. You know, they get in a storm, they can fly up to 100 miles an hour. The ornithologists tell us that you and I, we're going to mount up with wings like eagles. We're going to run and not be weary. So what's the message for you and I today? No matter what storms we face, no matter what stresses that we face in 2024, the fact of the matter is God's with you. God's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you, and he's going to provide for you. Let me close with one last idea as Bridget and Pastor Brad come back to sing that one more time. Probably, in my opinion, the president who's experienced the most stress in the last 50 or 100 years, maybe FDR during the Depression, but if he's not the first, he's got to be one of the top two in the last 100 years, has to be George W. Bush. September 11th, 2001, 9/11 transpired. And I would submit to you that President Bush, because of his relationship with God, trusted the Lord and soared over the storm in the midst of tumult and in the midst of stress, because he knew his God. He had looked up, he had listened, and he had lingered with God. He had a relationship with God. And I don't think that that's any accident, because on his second inauguration, January 20th, 2005, when he places his hand on a Bible, do you know what passage of scripture that he had his hand on? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint."